Welcome to PvP, Pitch Versus Pitch, the show where three guys who have never made a game before in their lives pitch each other video game concepts on inconceivable topics. I am Chris, producer at large here at Watch Mojo.
And I am Dan, manager of Mojo Plays.
And I'm Justin, I'm a producer at Watch Mojo.
Yeah, also one of the panelists on The Cinephiles, another
right.
one of our
check it out.
Our great podcasty type shows. Okay, so here's how this works. Three of us pitch video game concepts at each other on predetermined topics. We debate the merits. You guys can go to watchmojo.com/suggest. Tell us which ones you thought were best, and we'll decide what gets a red light and green light as we go. Okay, on today's agenda, we've got pitches for games about Ready Player One, your favorite song, and dogs. Dogs. But first, before we get into that, I want to know what we're playing this week. Dan, what are you playing this week?
I played a lot of PUBG this week. A buddy of mine just got himself a gaming computer, so we've been playing that. Still waiting for them to patch and fix up Kingdom Come, which, not holding my breath for the long weekend. It's about to be Easter long weekend. I don't want to date this show too much.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine. We're a few weeks behind.
Anyway, they've prepared an Easter update, but it looks like the Easter update is not actually going to be released in time for Easter.
Ooh,
beautiful.
No. Any chicken dinners this week?
I got one.
Woo!
That might have been Sunday night, though, so I'm not sure if that counts as this week. I also hopped into Destiny 2 real quick.
Oh.
Just to do some Nightfall stuff with a buddy. And I know, Justin, you
just jumped in. So I was kind of holding off on jumping into Destiny 2, similar to the way I jumped into Destiny. I waited for the Taken King, not on purpose, but when I heard that the Taken King had kind of fixed a lot of the problems that were early on, I was like, all right, maybe this is a time to jump in. And I got really into Destiny 1. And I was super excited for Destiny 2 until I started to hear some whispers. I mean, at launch, people were pretty stoked about it. But then after some time, people were like, oh, what's going on with the experience distribution? There's some fishy stuff going on.
Yeah, you run out of stuff to do eventually. That's the biggest problem.
I mean, like at the 100-hour mark, though, right? It's still chock full of content.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of waiting for a good moment to jump in. I had just procured a new gaming PC.
Mm-hmm, nice.
And I was like, what better way to test out my new system than with a beautiful AAA game
there
like
it
Destiny
is.
2? And
there
it runs.
Is.
Like a well-oiled machine.
You know, I'm still playing Sea of Thieves, and I have the same fear. Like, is this going to get repetitive and run out of steam and just, you know, you'll run out of things to do? Or will they introduce more stuff?
Mm.
Or will the excitement of, like, stuff is so random. Like, random stuff can happen, and you can just have, like, these crazy adventures. Will that carry me through and keep me playing?
Have you guys seen the Kraken yet?
I did see the Kraken,
Oh boy.
Yeah, it was scary as hell. It was like one of the first times I was playing, and it's like, what is going on? I'm switching between like pistol and blunderbuss, trying to shoot cannons at it, and it just tore the ship apart. And I'm like, oh, okay,
that's what happens.
That's what happens. That's the Kraken. So at the very least, I can aspire to kill that Kraken.
Okay.
That'll keep me going. Right on. Let's pitch. So quick reminder for each of these pitches, you can go to watchmojo.com/suggest and find the PvP episode 3 page and tell us which one you think should get the green light and why, or tell us in the comments. Why not? Here's the order. It'll be Dan, me, and then Justin. First up, Ready Player One. Dan?
Oh, okay.
What do you got for us?
So mine's actually very simple. It would have been perfect for the lightning round. So no pressure to green light here, boys, but, it's Pac-Man essentially, basically a Pac-Man reskin, except you're Steven Spielberg's head. And instead of power pellets and little black dots, white dots that you're picking up, you're actually picking up licenses. You're devouring trademarks and licenses while avoiding lawyers, internet trolls, and book purists.
Nice.
So you have to fill your movie with as many licenses as you can without getting nabbed by a lawyer or something like that.
How are the licenses represented?
I think they come up as like power up text. So like each one is a little, would be just like a dot, but as you do it, like some flashy text come up like Iron Giant.
Oh, okay. So you don't actually know what you're...
Until you've eaten one.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. Like almost like it doesn't even matter.
Right.
Doesn't even matter which property it is. I'm just going to eat it and we'll read the contract after.
Yeah, we'll figure out how it all fits together in the end. You know,
right, which is, I think, kind of how the whole book writing process worked.
Nice touch.
Yeah. Definitely. You're just so again, the to get a successful movie or to get a successful version of Ready Player One, you have to ingest as many properties as possible with special emphasis on things like Back to the Future.
I love this idea.
Yeah.
You read the book, didn't you?
I did read the book.
What did you think of it? Is that what you thought of the experience of reading it? It's just they threw every IP against the wall?
They threw a few too many. It's like the book is fun. I really enjoyed it. I didn't put it down. But one thing, I said this in our review, I feel like the movie is almost a better medium for this story, just because reading through pages of like description, hitting every reference that he has to throw in, gets a bit grating. But if you put this in a movie, you can see all those references visually and you don't have to spend any time on it.
Description.
But like he pulls up in his like custom car at one point for this party, which I think is represented in the movie from if I am reading the trailers right. And just the description of the car was the roadblock for a lot of people who have tried to read the book. They're like, okay, I got it. And they tossed it away. So,
because wow. The car we'll is what? Kit from Knight Rider?
The car is the DeLorean plus Kit from Knight Rider plus the flux capacitor is doing something else. And like, you're just like, all right, bro. Okay. And that's a decent way into the book.
Mm.
Yeah. So,
is this really just like an 8-bit graphic sort of game?
I think we're going throwback style, kind of like the way Shovel Knight works, where it looks like 8-bit graphics, but we've got some extra modern day technology in there to like help smooth over the kinks in your rose tinted glasses.
I like the idea of just Steven Spielberg's head navigating like these corridors.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Along.
Yeah, I have the visual in my head, and I like what I'm conjuring up here.
Yep, I like that too. Is there any possibility that like you would see, like if you've eaten you know, half the licenses, and those include Transformers and Thor, then at the end of the level you'll see like a mini cutscene with Thor and Transformers like battling against Knight Rider?
Or it could just be like sort of like a Where's Waldo kind of painting that gets thrown together. It's like a mock-up of your climactic battle scene. I like that.
Yeah.
And like it looks really pathetic if you didn't get a lot, but it looks pretty impressive if you've got like the whole thing just stacked with characters.
Yeah.
Do you get any bonus points for consuming properties that you already are a part of, being Steven Spielberg?
Ooh,
interesting. Well, it's the jury's still out of like what would cherries represent, and like so maybe that would be those, like so your Jurassic Parks, your ETs, like those could be the real big chunks on the board. Also, like alternates for ghosts would be like you get chased around by your more successful, your movie properties with a little bit more integrity.
Ooh.
So like you have to run away from Schindler's List and Amistad and stuff like that.
Amazing,
right?
Yeah,
that's really funny.
That's good. Maybe ET chases you around too.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I wonder, there should be a tie-in with the infamous E.T. game somehow.
Right?
Mm.
Ooh.
Mm. That's your punishment
for
losing.
Bonus mini-games or something like that?
Yeah.
A little bonus mini-game where you have to, like, try to control E.T. Atari?
Yeah, or, good like, luck. Or that's the game over screen.
Or you're, like, desperately trying to bury all the copies of it.
Just one guy in a shovel.
Yeah, exactly. Test your might.
It's like a Shovel Knight tie-in.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect.
Man, this game is writing itself here.
It is. Yep, I'm gonna give this a very pixelated green light.
Yeah, I'm in on this one.
All
green
right.
light for me.
Nice. That's our first green light. Okay, here's what I got for Ready Player One. I'm calling it Serving Player One. It's a VR cooking simulator. I see the art style very Edward Gorey-like, kind of like Don't Starve did, you know? And it's called Serving Player One. So you have to chop and peel and grind and bake and mix and plate specific recipes, but your ingredients are all video game characters. Okay? And most crucially, I think the biggest part of this is I want there to be a huge disconnect between like the cartoony graphics and cartoony gore even, and quirky animations and like upbeat music, and the nightmarish reactions of your ingredients. They're like smaller versions of themselves, so like you can handle them in your VR mitts, and they're also more helpless, you know? They can't fight back. They are just terrified. Oh, man. Dan's look right now.
So you're like butchering Funko Pop versions of your favorite characters?
Yeah. That's a pretty good description. That's a pretty good description. like, for example, your recipe is for a banana smoothie. So you have to blend up Donkey Kong in a Vitamix. So you pick him up, like, out of the fridge. He's, like, the size of a small pumpkin. And he's signing things like, no, like Coco the Gorilla, like, no, DK sad, DK sad, bad, cry. Or, like, you need some lean leg meat. So you pluck Tracer from the pantry. And as you're, like, you know, skinning her alive, she's pleading like, whoa, slow down, mate, please, I've got a wife at home. Or you have to make an enchanted mushroom risotto. And so you grab a sack of Goombas and pick the ripest looking one. And it whines like a sad puppy. Like, and when you slice it open, unborn Goomba Joeys wriggle out like snakes in the Temple of Doom.
Holy hell, man. This got real dark, real fast.
That's what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for right there. And there's more. Like, some characters will try to engage you in conversation. You know, they'll try to, like, negotiate their way out of their doom, which can lead to some you know, great dialogue and interesting side quests. Picture Pac-Man, right? Pac-Man says that he'll lead you to Miss Pac-Man, who you don't have in the pantry and who's more delicious, so it'll make a better recipe. So if you agree, he'll lead you to her. But is he really a scumbag, or is he leading you into some ghostly ambush? And there's only one way to find out. You gotta take the side quest.
Wow. I like the story elements at the end there. There's something there with negotiating the freedom of your licensed ingredients.
Yeah.
This is like Super Smash Brothers meets Overcooked, but also some sort of, like, even Surgeon Simulator, where you're just, like, dealing with gross.
My only issue with this idea is that I feel like it's a little too far removed from the core concept of Ready Player One.
Oh, is it?
I mean, I understand the whole butchering and restructuring of known intellectual properties your own gain. Oh, I understand.
Sorry.
Trust me. I got it. I got it. But, oh, man, so, like, a cooking simulator, eh?
Yeah, it's called Serving Player One. It you know, I like the recipes to get really hard too. Like you have to gut Kirby without piercing his air bladder, or your souffle won't rise. You know, that level of detail. And when you serve the dishes, there's, like, you know, twisted cutscenes of your guests cheerfully, gleefully eating them. And who are your guests? Member berries!
Of course.
Oh, right.
Of course.
The member berries.
Yes, from South Park.
Of course.
Member Star Wars!
I did see a comment on our review that Ready Player One was Member Berries the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's apt.
I'm going to come at this from two minds.
Okay.
On the one hand, if I am a major publisher, let's say an EA, for example, I am wondering how you got into my office to pitch me this idea. That being said, if I am a smaller publisher, let's say someone that publishes indie games, like a 505 Games, for example, and you're telling me we can have these licenses in my game, no problem, it's all fair use, I'm like, sign this guy up. However you can get Donkey Kong in a 505 game, if it has to be slicing him up, why not? But if you've managed to go through the rigmarole of finding out how this is okay in a game, I'm all in. So I'm going to call that a green light for me.
I'm going to say red for now, but I'm willing to see more proposals to, for lack of a better word, flesh it out. No pun intended.
Nice. But I didn't even mention that, like, if we sell this to Nintendo, we could have amiibos of, like, you know, that unlock different ingredients and missions and stuff. And the amiibos, instead of just being the characters, they can be, like, some violent, like, representation of, you know, like, some, like they're characters from some disturbed corner of DeviantArt.com.
I like this because it's a good way to resell broken amiibos.
Yeah.
You can, one lost its arm on the processing, but, you know, just put some red paint over there and it's part of the cooking game. It's great.
Oh, my God. No, the heartless executive that lives inside of me really likes this recurring monetization, so I'm down with that.
But nevertheless, it's a red light.
Nevertheless, I mean, it's just like, you got to get more recurring monetization in there, Chris.
All right, I'll come back on that one. All right, guys. So thanks for that. Justin, let's hear what you got for Ready.
I think we were all on the same page for this one in terms of the direction we were going with using the characters.
Just
in,
consuming these intellectual properties en masse.
So I saw on Twitter people have been calling Ready Player One Super Smash Brothers the movie, which is hilarious. And I thought, oh, there's something there. And also happened to be at the same time, a lot of people are very excited about the announcement that there's going to be a new Super Smash Brothers game for the Switch.
Finally.
Very true.
And with those announcements comes mass speculation. You can catch our own speculation on who's going to be in the new Smash Brothers. But it's, you know, people want to see characters join the fray. And what better way to do that than with some sort of Pokemon mechanic where you're catching these intellectual properties.
You're catching these IPs.
You're roaming the lands and grabbing them up and ultimately to use them in a Super Smash Brothers style, frenetic, fast-paced fighting game.
Now, okay, I've got an immediate question here for you. The value of these properties, would they be ranked based on how close they are to treasured 80s nostalgia, so you'd be working backwards through time until the 80s, or would they be based on like popularity thereof or recognizability?
So Dan, I think there's an opportunity in the marketplace to really appeal to the esports, the Super Smash Brothers hardcore fans who love them some balance and love them some good old fashioned mains that they can choose from. Okay. So I'm going to try and balance everyone out. It's going to be different play styles, but you know, you pick the Iron Giant, you don't get an immediate, you know, size advantage.
Right.
I mean, you do in terms of reach and stuff, but you're not just going to crush everybody with the might of your iron foot.
Yeah. Speaking of which, just real side note here. Did you guys see all the controversy swirling around the internet about how like including the Iron Giant as a violent character in the movie essentially like undermines like
the ending of that movie,
the entire theme of the Iron Giant?
Yeah. Ooh, no, I haven't seen that.
Okay, that's... well, there's some spicy memes out there.
Oh yeah,
so look it up yourself. Use the web.
But we're gonna disregard that, and he's gonna fight Mario.
Yeah.
In my game, and it's gonna be awesome. Who will win, Zelda, or you know the DeLorean? You can play as the DeLorean.
Whoa.
In this game. Yes, that's right.
The Kit Knight Rider DeLorean.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice. Do you have a title for this?
It's called Super Franchise Bros.
I like it. So
Super Cash Brothers?
Super Cash Brothers. So
even better.
Is all the gameplay just like Pokemon?
It's a mix. So it'd be Pokemon, you know, roaming the world and capturing things.
Mm-hmm.
But then your ultimate goal, instead of turn-based battles like you'd see in Pokemon, would be a...
real-time beat-em-up.
Oh, real-time beat-em-up in the style of Super Smash Brothers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Any? Do you see any DLC? What does the DLC look like?
Oh, do I see any DLC?
More characters.
Well, let me tell you something. It's pretty tough to roam the world and find these exclusive characters. But don't worry. We have loot boxes. And in these loot boxes, you can find any number of combinations of rare and extremely interesting and powerful characters. Like, say...
Godzilla.
Exactly right. Godzilla. All of the Power Rangers. Why
Whoa.
Not?
You got
Spider-Man. He's there. He's in there now.
The thing about the Power Rangers is like it's a collection within a collection. Like, what am I going to do with just a pink and a yellow Ranger?
It'll be similar to the way that the Pokemon Trainer worked in Brawl, where you can cycle through all the different Power Rangers, and it's actually one character.
Oh, cool.
Oh,
I've nice. Thought about this quite a bit, actually.
Clearly. as a heartless executive with that likes to invest in known properties, known formulas, and who loves me some incremental monetization, I'm going to give this one a hard green light just because I don't like to take risks and I'm a coward.
Yep. Yep. I think as an executive, I like the fact that there's absolutely nothing new here. I like that a lot.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You take two things, you put them together, and you're golden.
That's right. By virtue of you putting them together. It's a new thing.
Yeah.
Sorry. We can sell it now.
Yeah.
So, sure. Yeah, I'll green light this. I'll never play it.
And in the spirit of mashing things together, isn't that what Ready Player One is all about?
Ostensibly.
Yeah.
Yes.
There are more than ostensibly. No original ideas in them. in that book.
But I wonder if there's a way. I liked what you were saying about going backwards, like closer to the 80s. I wonder if there's like a story in there that involves traveling backwards, because I feel like we're hitting on something here. This is like the executive meddling section. So you're right. I'm going to retract my green light real quick and insist that we add some time travel in there. What could that look like?
We do have the DeLorean. We have access. We have the technology.
Mm-hmm.
I think a story mode, while single player experiences may not be the most profitable elements of a game these days.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is value in adding some sort of time travel element to entice people into the narrative, to get them, you know, coming back for more and investing in these loot boxes.
So they'd work their way in order through like current properties all the way back to like the real. Excuse me, I'm not talking close enough to my mic. They'd work their way back through current properties all the way until they hit the real juicy stuff in the 80s.
Correct.
That's okay. Right. Yeah, I like that. Kind of like how, like, I'm picturing the maps of Pokemon, how it's like a different, you know, area.
Mm.
I can't remember the terminology or any of the names of the places.
Regions.
Regions, thank you. But instead of regions, it's years. And you can get all the things that started in 1998.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay, good. Yes, I feel like as an executive, I've meddled enough here. I'm putting my green light back in. Well done. Well done, guys. Quick reminder that you can that you should subscribe to Mojo Plays for reviews and lots of great stuff. And if you're listening to this on Mojo Plays, it's also a podcast. So while your eyes and hands are busy, you can listen to it also. Check it out on iTunes and Google Play and maybe other places, too. TBD. All right, move on to our songs. Our second one, yes, your favorite song. So how did you guys approach this? Any difficulties?
Well, I mean, I forgot what our subject was for a second. So when you asked me what my favorite song was, I was like, oh, easy, Lateralis by Tool, pff, no problem.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh crap, I have to make a game around that. And one of the problems is that like. Insanely trippy video games that just like are just made to melt your brain and not really make any sense, those exist. Yep. Those exist en masse. So I had a tough time staying away from those ideas because like if you've played something like Porteous or Thumper, like I don't know if you guys know what Thumper is, but mm-hmm. it's like a rhythm horror game.
Mm-hmm.
And that I feel like it would be perfect for a Tool song or something like that, especially like as like the arena evolves and grows. But I was very brave, and I strayed away from that. Okay, so I don't know if you guys know, but Tool hasn't released an album since 2005,
really
2006 maybe.
Yeah.
Just for a little context, a spacecraft has traveled all the way to Pluto in the amount of time it's taken them to produce some new music.
Come on.
Anyway, so my game is kind of like a roguelike, but structured similarly to Papers, Please. I don't know if you guys know what Papers, Please is.
Yep.
For those of you who don't, Papers, Please is a game where you are a border agent who has to pass as many people through the border as possible in order to earn commissions. However, with each passing day, the bureaucratic complexity gets more complex. So at first, you just have to see if their passport is valid, and you go bloop, and you pass them through. But you have to check like where they're from, their date of birth. Eventually, it gets to be too much. So my game would be called Spiral Out because that's one of the refrains in Lateralis. And what you would have to do is you are Maynard James Keenan, the singer of Tool, and you are at home. And for an in-game day, which coincidentally lasts in real-world minutes, 9 minutes and 24 seconds, the length of the song, your purpose for each in-game day is to delay recording new music through an increasingly difficult web of lies and excuses.
Oh.
So for the first day, you're like, no, I'm working on my vineyard. Boom. Mm-hmm. And that's done. But the next day, you have to come up with a new excuse and you have to correspond these. So you're like, oh, actually, I'm busy that day. But no, that's the day. You got to cross-reference to make sure that's not the day you said you'd be working on your vineyard.
Okay.
And then there's the lawsuit that comes in and you have to make sure you don't implicate yourself in the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lawsuit they were dealing with, which was delaying recording. Anyway, so basically, the game over screen, you know, we talk about like really funny game over screens that represent the horrible situation the person in. The game over screen is you like, you know, counting down as you put your headphones on in the studio to record. So you fail if you
nice
record
image.
New music.
I like it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's both like a tribute to a band that you like and a serious
a little bit of a jab. Yeah, I dig that, but I think a lot of fans are in a similar place these days.
Is there like one antagonist? Like is your manager hounding you? Is it a fan?
Time is the primary antagonist. I think.
How do you embody that?
Well, I mean, like I said, like time is always running out. excuse me, my voice is a little cracky today. I was trying to think. I had something else here. Oh yeah, basically, like Papers, Please or a game of Tetris. There is no true. The only goal is to go see how far you can go. Mm. Eventually, your web of lies becomes too much, and you are forced to record. It's just how long, how many days can you go? Mm. How many excuses can you come up with?
Mm.
And you can roam around your house finding stimuli. Like these are the things that you have to put in, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can be like, oh, look, I found papers for my lawsuit. I can bring that up. Oh, look, I can call the guys from A Perfect Circle and we can record something else. And then the guys from Pussifer and then like we can record something with them. And like, yeah.
I like the idea of like, as a writer, it feels like, creative person who has to get stuff done. It's always like the thing that's like eighth on your to-do list that is the most attractive, you know? Yeah. And like the idea of going through your house, like, oh man, my magazine collection is out of order. I gotta organize that.
Guess so, I can't record today.
I think the house is a good setting. I wonder if maybe at some points he goes on vacations or takes trips. Do you think that's like an impossibility?
I mean, here's the thing.
Does that make it too easy?
It's been a vacation for him. Actually, that's not true. He's hard at work. He has a lot of side projects. I'm sure he's a hardworking individual. And you know what? They went on tour recently.
Yeah. I like the idea that you can work. Too real. You can work on side projects as a way of procrastinating
for your main project.
I like that a lot. That's a cool element where you're just like, I'll make music.
Yeah.
Just not that music.
Not the music that people really want.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know, when I heard that you liked Lateralis, isn't there something in there about how it's like really created with like a mathematical
Fibonacci
structure?
Sequence.
Yeah, they incorporate the Fibonacci sequence.
The titular spiraling out. Well, not titular, but the spiraling out.
That's right.
Yeah.
I thought that you might incorporate that because that seemed like an interesting theme to pick up, and I've never seen that in a video game. But we can. Maybe we set that aside, and maybe the Fibonacci sequence will be a topic for other games someday.
Oh man,
that'll be a super dorky episode.
Yeah,
Justin, did you have any questions about this game?
My main question is just like, is there a way in the game to have like dictate kind of what the music will be like? Is there, you know, can you pick up a guitar and just like strum around, or is there any like incentive to create side projects or music? Like, is there a creative drive element there?
No, the whole purpose is to shut down your creative drive or something. Right. So you can be like, so you can accidentally delete the message from one of your bandmates. 'Cause like the way they apparently write is that the band writes the music and then he adds the lyrics afterwards. So you can be like, oh, like, so that's one of your daily excuses, that you've been like, oh, I accidentally deleted the message where you included all the music you guys recorded. But like, you got to remember that you already used that excuse on day one. So if you try to use it on day two, then boom, game over.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there some reason like within the game where that's revealed in the game, maybe through maybe story that's like parsed out, like in what the hell's the name of the game? Gone Home?
Yeah.
Where, you know, story is just kind of like parsed out through finding things that you find out why he doesn't want to record and also why he just doesn't break up the band and say, I'm never recording with you guys.
Okay, here's the thing. I like the idea of that like kind of organic storytelling, like, you know, through bits and pieces, you kind of piece it together. Mm-hmm. However, I feel like this is kind of a conflict that in the mind of the protagonist... is self-evident. Like, why does Mario want to save the princess? Of course he wants to save the princess. It's like that... What do you mean, why? It's a self-evident conflict. Why did the Allies want to defeat the Nazis? So why does he not want to create music? Like, is that a joke? Of course he doesn't want to create any new music. Like, come on.
Fair enough.
I don't know, man. I think as a player...
You might be interested?
I'd be interested, not only interested, but I think if I'm not on board with his motivations, I won't play this open-ended game.
Okay, fair enough.
You know?
Something to take into consideration.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're just not getting it.
I agree. And that's why for me, at the moment, it's a red light.
Red light. There we go.
I'm gonna go ahead and green light this one.
Oh.
I like the idea of like almost a procrastination simulator.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that idea a lot. I like the element of being like the creative pursuit in it and mm-hmm. procrastinating on that.
So that's a great way to pitch it, actually. It's papers, please, but instead of trying to get the most work done as possible, it's the opposite.
You're
trying as hard as possible to not actually do the work.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I think that a procrastination simulator has value, but I don't think this is the way to do it.
I do hope my superiors aren't watching the show and reading into this too much, because this inspiration is organic, okay?
But you know what? I think procrastination...
No need to read into this.
Procrastination should be another topic that we tackle someday. Okay, well, here's mine. I don't know why this song always comes up as my favorite song. There are probably dozens of songs that I enjoy more, but somehow this was in my brain filed under favorite song, and it's Soul to Squeeze by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Chris, they don't even say the words California like once in that song.
That's a really good point.
It's really outside of their wheelhouse. It's an odd choice.
It's totally implied, though. I mean, it's totally implied, especially if you see the video, too. It's like black and white and like... like quasi artsy and like circus sideshow theme, so it definitely qualifies as 90s Red Hot Chili Peppers, including the thing that is maybe more than any other trait in a song 90s to me is the super opaque, almost mean something lyrics that like all 90s songs have, and it made them cool at the time, but now it's just like I can't take it anymore. To me, that's like why a lot of the 90s hasn't aged well. So nevertheless, the song is like marginally about addiction and love, and they're kind of like tied together. And the feeling of it to me is like some dreamy drug trip. But some of the lyrics, and especially the bridge of it, suggests this dark danger, like the dark danger of maybe the drug addiction that is the undercurrent to the drug trip, right? So you have like those dualities at play.
You're talking about the part where he goes like dibba dang dibba never, like that part.
That's all the songs.
No, that's just the end of the bridge, because he starts with regular things, but like, and then it just kind of like breaks apart.
Yeah, yibba dibba dang, yeah, I can never get, but yeah, that's the one.
I think this should be the podcast. Yeah, another 20 minutes.
Just scatting.
It's three guys trying to remember.
Viewership is falling off.
All right, which Red Hot Chili Peppers song is this?
Okay, so here's how I would put those elements into a game. I want it to be a 3D platformer where you can't die. Everything, including the physics of it, is inconsistent and could change at any second. And your goals are either like non-existent or totally, totally unattainable. It's kind of more like a hangout, a hangout on drug simulator. So I'm picturing like a psychedelic landscape that, again, you know, shifts and changes. So like, picture this: you come across a forest of trees that are caterpillars. You try to interact with one of them, like give it a hug, but suddenly it's a popsicle and you phase shift right through it. You try to jump to get on top of it, but jumping does nothing until you stop trying to jump, and then the jump is like super effective and you go like way up high.
That sounds exceedingly frustrating.
It can be frustrating, but if you give yourself over to the experience of it, it's like liberating and an interesting experience. Kind of like how I've been thinking about Sea of Thieves recently, how it's like an interesting experience. Anything can happen within this world. And that's what you got to be in it for. So let's see what else. Oh, yeah. But occasionally, because there's this dark undercurrent, right? Angels and demons will appear and torment you just like very briefly. Like the end of the bridge in the song, you know, there's lyrics in the song that are like, the angels in my dreams have turned to demons of greed. That's mean. So I guess I'm trying to like recreate the feeling of euphoria and bliss and obliviousness to danger, right? So yeah, another way to think of it is like, it's like the LSD Dream Emulator, which is this game from like 1998, mm-hmm. Meets the existential weirdness of the game Everything, meets the procedural generation of No Man's Sky. Right, because like I see all this stuff as like procedurally generated. You play as a shirtless protagonist. It's got to be shirtless.
Of course,
absolutely.
Yeah,
with unlockable DLC as like you know just the sock outfit.
Yeah, the sock outfit. That's right. Got to be one. And you can custom design it, but there's almost not much point because like everything else in the game, your appearance is constantly shifting. Sometimes you're invisible because it's like I don't exist, man. You know, to simulate that.
Just processing all of this.
Yeah, this is that pitch in and of itself was a trip. So I think that deserves commendation.
Well, thank you. I didn't even talk about co-op mode.
Oh my god,
co-op mode is a whole other experience, right? Because you're playing with a buddy remotely. It's not like couch co-op. It's remote co-op or whatever you call it. You know, your buddy can like suddenly it looks like your buddy, but it's actually a bot and it's super like aggressive towards you. Or their voice can become distorted or just like keep repeating the same thing. Like you think it's their voice live, but it's just like repeated and distorted.
Like, are you okay? Are you okay?
Exactly.
I like it. I like co-op mode. I'm sold on that alone.
Cool.
Yeah. I think that's your real nut.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. I think this should be co-op only. Take the a way out route and offer some co-op only gameplay. I think two guys, ostensibly virtually tripping mm-hmm. over the internet, I'm in. I'm just greenlighting things. Like, I'm going to have That's so many fine. Games yeah. at the end of this.
You'll learn to be more fiscally responsible.
Yeah, I'm going to have people breathing down my neck when these games don't...
As the podcast goes on.
Yeah. These are all going to get delayed. I know it.
Like, Dan, what is your holdback here?
I don't know. I just feel like it makes me want to go home and take acid,
mm-hmm.
less than actually want to go home and try the game itself, if that makes any sense. Also, I was really waiting for when the souls got squeezed in your That's pitch. Really good point. Mm. You gotta tie it back. You gotta have that main narrative thread. So again,
all right,
this is a let's meet again in a week. Maybe you can refine your deck, come back with a better pitch.
I think I got it.
You got it right here.
Yeah. I think what you are is your avatar in the best moments of the game. You are not your avatar. You're your soul, right? Remember how I said you go invisible sometimes?
Mm.
Well, you turn into like your soul, right? There's some sort of graphic representation of that.
So insanity can get you by your soul to squeeze.
And when you're at like your highest peak, the game's it's most fun, it's most colorful, it's most musical, it's most active, and you are your soul. That's when the angels and demons are most likely to come out as well. And you want to avoid those.
Yeah.
So
I commend you for poring over the lyrics.
Yeah.
They are burned into my brain ever since I was like 10 years old and the song came out.
Fair.
I wasn't even 10. Jeez.
I think you've stuck closest to the actual content of your given song than the two of us.
Mm.
And for that, I commend you. That's,
thanks.
It's very... I would love to see what this looks like.
Me too.
Yeah, I would love to see what this looks
like.
I'm
saying.
Yeah, also... You know what's holding me back? There was no reference to the Californication video, which was, in fact, a video game. So this could have been, like, a spiritual successor. There's a spiritual / soul joke in there, and I just can't get it quite right.
I mean, it is a 3D platformer, and that's what
right.
that one was. Wasn't it, kind of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they thought that far.
No.
It was just...
Like, I remember hearing an interview with them at the time being, like, when that video was hot, and... they're like, so when is the game coming? And they're like, oh, we're not making a game. Someone proposed this to us. And we're like, yeah, it sounds cool. If someone wants to make a game, yeah, sure, we'd do that. I remember hearing them say that and thinking, like, they'll do anything if there's money involved. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to Justin. Justin, Justin, Justin.
I have a great pitch for you guys, and I think you're going to really like it.
Okay.
He told me beforehand. Well, excuse me. He told me the subject beforehand.
Crowd your mic.
So the song Dreams is... according to every account, a breakup song written by Stevie Nicks, the lead singer of Fleetwood Mac, about her longtime partner and lead guitarist for Fleetwood Mac, Lindsey Buckingham. This became one of their most popular songs, and they continue to play it even to this day when they, you know, go on the occasional let's get the band back together and tour the world, Stevie Nicks plays the song by herself. I'm even pretty sure Lindsey Buckingham has played the song on his own, which is strange to me considering it's basically about how he's a kind of an asshole. Mm.
But like on the just to be clear, on sure. the album Go Your Own Way was like the sort of the opposite side, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. Which is an interesting dynamic to have two songs. And Go Your Own Way is a very popular song as well. I think a game in which you play as Lindsey Buckingham mm-hmm. from the moment that you and Stevie Nicks break up through the production of Rumors and by extension Dreams, and then have to go along and play that song over and over again, but you have to balance the more you play the song, the lower your sanity becomes.
Okay, so can you give me like an analogous game to this so I can like sort of visualize the gameplay?
Think of it as a good and bad meter in your modern RPG.
Okay, okay. That actually comes up in my next pitch.
Think of it as a kind of balance that you can have both filling up, but ultimately what really matters is the one that fills up more.
Okay.
The more you decide to play Dreams, the more you embrace it as a hit, mm-hmm. the more money you make.
Mm.
The more aggressively you push back, mm-hmm. the more sanity you walk away with.
Hmm.
Are certain parts of the song more difficult to get through? Like just that, you know, that little at the very beginning, you know, like is that more difficult for you?
I think
you?
The chorus is pretty hard when she says basically players only love you when you're playing. Mm. That's got to sting a little
just
bit.
Just facts.
That's got to sting.
Just facts.
Yeah, facts only here, but that's, you know, you don't want to be
She was very young, eh? She was like 16.
Wow,
I didn't know that.
Listen, they're a great band.
Don't quote me on that.
I love that album to death. I love that song to death. Mm-hmm. This game is called Bad Dreams. And it's a mix between your typical Telltale or, you know, like a narrative-driven, choice-based game and, you know, a rhythm-based rock game. You get to play some guitar in between those narrative choices.
Nice.
Yeah, so basically, you're trying to unlock one of two endings. One in which you maintain your sanity and end up with very little money, or get a lot of money, kind of lose your mind a little bit. Not necessarily what happened to Lindsey Buckingham, but I'm taking some creative liberties
sure.
with the path okay. of this game.
So my big question is, and this is really what my approval is going to hinge on. Rumors, the album, has a pretty infamous cover where Lindsey is holding, like he's got one leg up and he's holding what appear to be metal testicles.
If I think that we can be, definitively say.
If that could be integrated into the game in literally any way, I think my interest will double.
What if, in order, like, the slider to decide which choice you choose in
it's like a pendulum.
It's a pendulum of those two balls.
And if you're equal, the balls separate.
Oh, they separate? Or does one go up and one goes down?
These are things we can work out with the design team, but I think the important element...
Balls in my hand right here.
Photoshop, get ready. This is going to be a meme one day, Chris.
I'm jiffing that.
You know, I think there's a lot of opportunities to implement the balls.
Okay,
yeah.
There we go. Green light.
So Dan's strength is green lighting it on the strength of the opportunities to implement the balls.
Again. Which is a fair note. It's a fair note.
Know thyself, viewers. Know thyself.
Mm. Are there other songs anywhere in there? Or is it
just
that song?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think every time you choose not to play Dreams, you have to choose to play another song, which opens up their entire catalog. Mm-hmm. I'm partial to things like Gypsy's Great Song.
Okay.
There's a lot of...
Rhiannon.
A lot of great Fleetwood Mac songs to choose from, guys. You don't have to play Dreams every single time. But if you do, you get that. Get that
sweet money.
That
there's no
green.
Money. There's no money in Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow.
There is, but in this game, there isn't.
An insane amount of money in that
Yeah,
song.
There's a lot of licensing, I'm
in
sure.
In the universe of this game, Dreams is their only big hit. that's basically...
Pretty tough.
That's a tough sell, but listen. We'll work it out with the narrative designers, okay? We'll talk.
Speaking of licensing, I wonder if different different stages are like some are concerts, but some are like you're playing it for a commercial. You know, like for every Chevrolet commercial that wants to use Go Your Own Way,
I think we have our climax of the game, Chris.
Oh, really?
I think what's an aged Lindsey Buckingham has to decide, am I going to put this song on a car commercial?
Mm-hmm.
And that is the ultimate choice. Is he going to, you know, potentially hear this song forever in relation to a brand of cars?
Yeah.
And be followed by it no matter where he goes, unless he, you know, cuts out TV altogether. But who are we kidding? Come on. Watch TV.
The steering only has traction when it's raining.
Oh, there's a lot of branded opportunities for the song Dreams, people.
Heated seats always love you if you buy them. We'll workshop that.
Yeah, we'll get there.
What happens if he goes insane, though?
What happens when he goes insane?
Is game over or what?
You get a very depressing game over screen. That involves him alone in a studio apartment somewhere in Manhattan, smoking a huge cigarette, just contemplating his decisions.
Did they not all have problems with drugs?
They did. Well, that's why I said cigarette.
Rock stars in the 70s. Of course they did.
Yeah, okay. So maybe just an OD.
OD. Dark, but you know what? That's going to sell more copies.
You know what? I'm going to greenlight this because I think it might get my parents playing video games.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Cool.
I think you're right on that.
Well done. All right. Those were the songs. Those were the songs. Favorite songs. Tell us which one you think deserves a green light, or tell us what your favorite song is and how you'd make that into a game, or how you would treat favorite songs in general as a topic. We have one more. This is a lightning round. Real quick. Quick pitches for the topic of dogs. Dan, what do you got?
Okay, so Littlest Hobo. That was a show. Oh, look it up. Yeah. Littlest Hobo meets Skyrim. It's an open world game where you are a dog and you have to survive on the streets, but you're often faced with moral choices as to whether or not you want to be a good boy or not a good boy.
Oh, yes. I like it. Green light.
There we go.
Green light. Like Littlest Hobo. Yeah. Just on the strength of that.
The more I thought about this game, like the open world survival RPG with moral choices is so ripe for a dog franchise, just around the whole being a good boy or being a bad boy.
Oh, that's so true. I wonder if you should build on like the Littlest Hobo IP, or if, you know, good boy, bad boy.
I don't think it was popular outside of Canada.
I think it was a Canadian show.
It was a Canadian show, yeah. So nobody at all knows what we're talking about.
Daniel, I think I've found a problem in your pitch.
What's that?
Aren't all dogs good boys?
No. Fair enough. Sheila has a dog and he's a piece of shit.
Well, I choose to disregard that. I think all dogs are good boys, but I will still play your game and make all the right moral choices. Green light.
That's a green light? Great. Okay, mine is called Crime Dog. It's a story-driven murder mystery puzzler. You play as the genius dog of an inept private investigator, who's like the worst film noir gumshoe ever. And you just follow him around and, without everyone knowing that you've solved the case, you solve the case. Kind of like Penny to Inspector Gadget, I guess, if I remember that show correctly. So you collect clues by sniffing, right? And that is, really what the whole game is based on, is sniffing and collecting clues. And I want this to look something like that issue of Hawkeye that's from the POV of Lucky the Pizza Dog. You know what I'm talking about, Justin? So it's basically pictograms that are unlocked every time you sniff something, and you need to put them together to form clues and increase your understanding of what's happening.
That was the longest bolt of lightning I have
ever. Okay, yes, I'm wordy.
Pizza Dog gets you a green light.
Yes.
Yeah, unfortunately, I have to vote for pretty much anything that says Pizza Dog.
Yes.
I think Trump could get that approval rating bumped up a few notches.
Why are you bringing Trump into this?
No, I'm just saying that we're
don't attach Trump to my pitch.
Okay. Any unpopular politician.
Fair enough.
Pizza dog wins.
Justin.
So my idea is based on a PS3 game in which called Tokyo Jungle, in which you exist in a apocalyptic Tokyo, and you have to survive as an animal by mating with other animals, and then when your avatar dies, you become your offspring. And you have to keep the family lineage going by eating, and you can do this with a number of different animals. You start as a cat, but you can unlock a giraffe, let's say.
Well,
my game is that, but very much directed to the idea of dog breeding.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is to, you start as a very purebred husky, and you have to mate with other dogs, survive in the wild, until eventually you create some sort of ingenious hybrid that people know and love. Let's say like a Pomsky. Mm. Everybody loves a nice Pomeranian Husky.
Yep.
You can roam the wilderness or the, a giant metropolis as a Pomsky, and you have to avoid animal control. That's the only obstacle in your way is animal control on your tail.
Hmm.
Do you got a title? Because I got a good one.
I don't have a title, actually.
Mutterfuckers?
I'm in.
No?
I'm definitely
in. I thought that would kill. Honestly? Control room? No? No.
I'm stunned because I never thought my opinion of a pitch could change so quickly.
Wow.
For the better.
Nice.
I'm down. I'm down. Green light.
You had me worried there for a second.
If you go with my title, I give you a green too. I'm very petty today. Very fiscally conservative, but very petty.
You are a publisher.
Right?
That's big.
All right. I think we've wrapped that up. Those are all our pitches. Go to watchmojo.com/suggest or find the link in the description. Tell us what topics we should do, which ones you think were the strongest here. We're going to start keeping score eventually. And subscribe to Mojo Plays. Over on Mojo Talks, you can see the Cinephiles Extended Edition. Extended Cut? Sorry.
Extended Cut.
Extended Cut.
Talk about all the movie news.
You can also subscribe to that as a podcast also. Justin's on there. Comes out every Friday. Dan, anything else you wanna highlight before we sign off here? No?
No.
Great. Thanks to Phoebe in the control room. And Manny too. Do I see Manny? Oh, Manny's there also. That moment when you think it's Phoebe, but it's Manny.
Great meme.
Thanks. Yeah.
Great verbal meme.
I'm just full of memes. Thanks for watching.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And listening.
Peace.